You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you've had a great week so far, and there are a ton of great things to watch this week. I need you to keep your eyes open for the new Joe Francis documentary. The infamous Girls Gone Wild video company is getting the documentary treatment. In the first installment of TNT's new true crime anthology series, Rich and Shameless, viewers will get an inside look into the dirty world of this entrepreneur's adult entertainment business that dominated the 2000s. I felt like in the early 2000s, specifically on MTV, the commercials for those gross videos would come on every few minutes. This is going to premiere on April 23rd with a special two-hour episode following the NBA playoffs. You can check out the three-minute trailer. It is hard to watch. According to the press release, the episode will dive deep into the harmless fun. Harmless fun. Give me a break. Harmless, in quotes, of wet t-shirt contests and booze-fueled spring breaks and moved into the dark back rooms with Joe Francis, where girls were reportedly coerced to take part in actions far more sinister than flashing on a beach. He is 48 years old. He was once a permanent figure in West Hollywood and in Hollywood. He had a ton of friends in reality TV circles to A-list celebrities. He was at the center of this roving party and this aspirational millennial figure with private jets, famous friends. He was considered a rock star by many people, but what he was operating, as you will hear, was pretty sinister. So that is going to be on TNT. Some other great things to check out: White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch on Netflix. Abercrombie and Fitch in the 90s was known for being the clothing company for young, preppy elites. The clothes were discriminatory, very, very small. Basically can only be worn with people by people who were extremely thin, chiseled abs, very gorgeous in all their catalogs and posters. But not only were their clothes discriminatory, so were their business practices, including exclusionary marketing and discriminatory hiring. I remember following the story when I did legal PR, providing legal sources for the reporters who covered the mounting lawsuits. I'm really excited about this one. I think I may be interviewing one of the former models. That's going to be on Netflix, April 19th, White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch. Selling Sunset's back on Netflix, a new season, season 5. Listen, you're going to spend the majority of the episodes wondering if Chrishell's relationship with Jason Oppenheimer could possibly be real and whether any of the agents actually sell the properties. It's a great binge show. You're not really watching it thinking that this is based on a lot of reality, like true reality. The whole time I'm like, are these two really a couple? And does anyone else believe it? It's hard to kind of ascertain watching. And also the meetings they have in the office. I mean, no one's computer's plugged in. You can never know what's on the screen. You don't get a sense anyone's making phone calls. First of all, they walk in with the smallest bags. I carry my laptop and my tote bag all the time. I don't know how they're making any deals, but nevertheless, a totally fun show to watch. A great binge show. Christine, of course, is hilarious. A lot of great moments. And by the end of the episodes, I see a really softer side of Chrishell that I think you all are going to enjoy. Again, Selling Sunset season 5 begins this week. Also check out The Real World Homecoming New Orleans on Paramount Plus. This will reunite the New Orleans cast members, David Tokyo. He goes by Tokyo. I'm not kidding you. Tokyo Broom, Melissa Beck, Jamie Murray, Danny Roberts, Matt Smith, Julie Stauffer, and Kelly Wolf. Good news. 3 of them are my friends. They're on my show this week. Melissa, Danny, and Kelly. If you have not watched that season, don't worry because Paramount Plus is airing the original 23-episode season right now. So you can go back and watch. This episode I'm excited about. I got a chance to talk to the director of Not So Pretty, which is on HBO Max. It is a comprehensive, large-scale investigative expose of the trillion-dollar cosmetics beauty industry, an investigative look into this beauty industry. A lot of it was hard to hear, especially having so many girls who love to buy and steal my makeup. It's going to be jaw-dropping in a couple moments for you. It's broken down into 4 categories, so there are 4 different episodes. A must-watch, especially if you are buying beauty products, and I know we all do on a consistent basis. Really excited to talk to Amy Zarian, the director, because she also did the Woody Allen, Allen versus Pharaoh documentary. So make sure you listen to that. And also in this episode, I have my friend Jenny Armstrong from Real Housewives of Orange County. Most people refer to her as Jennifer or Dr. Jen. It's hard for me. It's kind of like Timothy Verna is Tim Verna to everybody I grew up with. He's still Timmy to me. All my friends from childhood call me Katie. I'm Katie Casey. They're like, who the hell's Kate? I feel that way when people say Dr. Jen. I can barely say it. Or Jennifer. She's Jenny to me. I've known her for over a decade. It's super meta to have your friend on a television show. Very weird to see. Weird to see her husband and kids because my kids do sleepovers at her house. You know, we're great family friends. So it's been very weird to see. I was excited to have her on the show because you get a little bit more backstory into her life before Bravo TV. Her experience going through med school, the loss of her father, taking the MCAT the day after she found out he died. He was hit by a drunk driver. Meeting Ryan. Also, the dynamics of being on a television show, and not only being on a television show, but representing so many women who are the breadwinners for their family when the husband is the stay-at-home dad and all that goes with that. And also, what has been going on in her office outside of the show this season with a former office manager? I have asked all the questions you guys have been asking me online all season long. Kate, please get to the bottom of it. I have them all for you, and I'm excited for you to hear my friend who is, again, a television star, which is hysterical because she and her husband never watched television. I'm not kidding you. They never watched television. So fun to have her on, and so I think you're going to love this episode. Make sure that you subscribe to katecasey.substack.com. That is an important newsletter because every Monday you're going to get a list of all these things that I mentioned at the top of the episode of what to watch each week with descriptions. And you can pop back to it on your email to look through it all week. It has the day that they will air and the network that it's on. So, you know, I'm just trying to bring people together, give you lots of extra content to give you the escape you so deserve in these very crazy times. So make sure you check that out. And also, if you love these episodes, the greatest thing you can do is to text or email them to a friend. So just share the great content, especially when they have long car rides, they need something to listen to when they work out. A lot of people say they love podcasts right before they fall asleep. All of those things are great. So thank you so much for sharing them. I'm so excited about this episode. So here we go. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateCasey. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Jenny Armstrong has been my friend for about a decade, and here she is on Real Housewives of Orange County. I gotta tell you, it's pretty weird. This is the first friend that I've had pre-reality show that is now on a show, and it's a little bit meta and it's a little bit weird. She's with me today. Jenny, welcome to the show. Actually, welcome back, because I had you review a medical documentary one time before. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. It wasn't just pre-show. It was pre-kids, pre-husband. We've been friends forever.
Forever.
It's so interesting.
And what is also funny is that I'm actually very close friends with your husband as well. So this has been very strange to watch the two of you on a television show, to say the least. The question I most get is, does he ever wear a t-shirt? And I say to them, 45% of the time I've known him, he's had a shirt on.
Really? That's pretty good. I usually see it in like doctor's offices, tax appointments, we get a shirt, but none of the other time. Currently, right now, not wearing a t-shirt, of course.
And by the way, sometimes he'll answer phones in your office, and the people love him.
They love him. Love him. One of my favorite times was when he was in the reception during COVID. We didn't have any staff really. And one of my patients was like, wow, your receptionist, he's so good looking. I'm like, thanks. Did you not see the family picture on the wall? But
oh,
thank
my
you
God.
So much.
That is hysterical. Take us back. You are originally from Go.
California. And I went to University of Oregon undergrad, then Concordia for pre-med, Georgetown for biophysics and physiology, Hawaii for med school, UCLA for residency, and then a fellowship in aesthetics. Quick and dirty 20 years right there.
Now, and please explain to the good people listening what your specialty is and what you do in your office.
So I do aesthetic medicine. So I'm a licensed physician and surgeon, but I practice all non-surgical. So procedures, but nothing in an operating room for cosmetics, aesthetics.
And what made you decide to do that?
I did my undergrad in fine arts. I used to sculpt body parts, actually.
And I know that your dad was a huge inspiration for going into medicine and just business in total. So tell us a little bit about how important your father was into your career and your life.
He was just so encouraging. So it's just like he was in the oil business when he was alive. And I was like, oh, maybe I should do that. He's like, no, your passion is medicine. Since you were a child, your passion is medicine. You're going into medicine, like, because he knew that's what I wanted, right? As we get older, I think we can deter to these different directions. But he's like, no, you're going to do this and you can do this. And he was just so encouraging all the time to everybody. I mean, even at his funeral, people would say, I met him for an hour and he was the most influential man I ever met. He's very special. Magnanimous is the word I used to describe him.
So you lost your dad at what age?
28.
And how did he pass away?
So he was hit by a car. He was riding a bicycle on the side of the street and he was hit by a car. And it was the night before the MCAT, the night before I took the test to get into medical school, actually.
Oh my God.
Tragic, very tragic. And so I took the test. I remember walking out of the test. I took it anyway, because I know that he would, I mean, if he knew that he was in, like, there was influence, like something that something had happened to him caused me not to take the test and go to medical school, he would just be so upset. So I'm like, I know he wants me to take this test. And I can't believe that I did so well on it. But then I had to leave the test and go take him off life support. So it's one of those moments you don't forget.
How did that forever change your own family, his loss?
Well, we used to be very close. So we have a pretty big family. So my father had 4 children, and his wife was actually hit by a drunk driver and died. And then my mom came in, raised the children, and they were a little bit older then, and had us 2. So there's 6 of us, so 4 half-brothers and sisters, and then 1 full. Big family. So we used to be very close when my father was alive. He was the leader. And then when he died, it just kind of like everything just crumbled. And I think that's why when I met Ryan, I was just so eager to have a family. I mean, when they told me I was having twins, I'm like, perfect. We're like, knock 2 out of 1. Like, I just was so eager to build my own family after mine kind of crumbled quickly.
I definitely understand that. So how old are you when you meet Ryan?
I was 30. How old was I? 33.
And you were
my last year of medical school. I had been in Hawaii for 3.5 years. I was ready to get off. I'm like, okay, we're getting off this rock. We're going back to reality. Then I meet Ryan, like Mr. Hawaii, and he's like, I'm never leaving. Okay, great.
He said when he met you, I would love a life in Hawaii. I mean, this is where I picture myself. So that must have been hard. You meet this great guy, but ultimately, your career really navigates where you're going to end up.
Yeah. So I tried, I did try to have residency here in Hawaii, and I gave it my best effort to have a career here, but it can't beat California. The opportunities in Southern California, and that's my home too. So it's just not comparable. But it is interesting. He broke up with me because of Hawaii when we were dating. He said, I'm never leaving Hawaii. I know that it's too small for you there. It's just too small for you, and you'll never be there. And and so he left, and then we got back together, obviously. But now we have this. Now we have a dual life, right? Hawaii and Southern California. So we're trying to make the best for him,
Yeah,
because he did say to me seriously one time that he could not endure another Southern California winter. Like seriously.
Well, I know that because it'll be like December and he has no shirt on with running shorts and doesn't miss a beat.
Right. So one day he just looked at me and he's like, I made it through the whole year without wearing pants. Like, wow, it's so good to have goals, Rye. Truly.
And you guys are very different, which I find very amusing. I mean, you want to wear glamorous clothing and have champagne and a charcuterie board. And he's just like, Ryan is fine watching a game and eating pretzels. So
I'm literally ordering the caviar and he's like, do you have apple pie? What? It's like his joke now when we go to fancy restaurants. He's like, do you have applesauce? I'm like, oh gosh, please. God, no, please don't. He can be so hilarious.
He is.
You know him. He has a very witty, kind of odd sense of humor. But he's one of the funniest people. But you had to give him, I joke, but it's kind of true. You got to give him 6 or 7 years to warm up.
No, maybe less than that.
Like 3. Okay, 3.
And he's actually quite cerebral and he loves sports, but he loves to talk about books. But he's the kind of person that if you go into a dinner party or go to a party, he's much more comfortable with just one person.
He is very cerebral. He does way better one-on-one. I think when he was talking to Terry, he could really bond with Terry because they both kind of have that sense of humor, guyish sense of humor. And he actually enjoyed it. He was like, oh, that's nice. Or he was talking to Shane one-on-one. And he does better with men. I feel like women kind of intimidate Ryan a little bit.
Me? I don't know. I think he's fine.
You think so?
With me, he's fine.
Well, maybe it's just me.
That's what I think is also interesting. I had a friend at preschool at Temple Bat Yam, and he was a stay-at-home dad for a couple of years. He was a tax attorney, and he would talk to me about all the weird nuances of being a stay-at-home dad. And that's what I thought was interesting about your story, too. Like, Ryan and my friend Adam have said the same thing. It's like, if you're the stay-at-home dad, it's uncomfortable when you want to do play dates because you never want to give the impression to another woman, like, I want to spend time with you. Like, it's a very weird situation. And then you're struggling to kind of communicate with the husbands that are working all the time because they don't understand why the father is at home with the kids. There's still this mentality like men should be in the office, women should be at home. So I thought that the way that you both have been navigating that is a really interesting story that is being lived by so many people.
I've gotten a lot of positivity from women around the country who are in similar situations. Just like, thank you for normalizing this. Thank you for being honest about the struggles with this, because this is the same exact situation, right? And they almost get a little bit, like you say, nuances. I say you're a little bit punished just because it's not accepted in society full blown that, you know, you can have a stay at home dad and a working mother. I mean, I remember when Cece was little, right? And the boys would have play dates, they'd have sleepovers, the whole thing. But nobody's going to send their little girl over when the mom's not there.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, of course, we know that Ryan's like the best person ever, but just in general, like that just doesn't happen. I feel like Cece suffered because of that. Like she didn't get as many play dates when she was little. Because although Ryan did used to go to the Mommy and Me like musical playing sessions, he'd actually participated in them, but that was pretty short lived.
I mean, I hated that too. So some of the scenes that I see playback, there are two things that resonate with me watching you on the show is that Ryan absolutely hated to be filmed that season. It's totally out of his wheelhouse. He is more of an introvert. He's not comfortable with cameras. He's like an Indiana guy who loves to just be with his kids and a handful of friends. So I could see how uncomfortable it was and which caused strife between you in filming. And I'm glad that you have worked through that because that was painful for me to see. What did you think in retrospect of those scenes? And do you feel a little bit of empathy now for Ryan seeing a playback?
I feel like I have more empathy for him now. When we're in it, I was just frustrated. I'm like, just pretend it's not here. Like, I just pretend they're not there. But easier said than done for, like, he can't do that. Even at that scene in Cabo, when I called him about my leg, and he was pretty abrupt and rude, he called me back an hour later and was like, I'm so sorry. And very kind and loving. But he's like, I didn't want to do that on camera. The second that you told me I was being recorded, you know, he just kind of shuts down. He just really, I feel like he did better towards the end of the season, but at the beginning it was, oh gosh, it was painful.
The other thing I noticed is that when you were in Aspen, I mean, I think Emily made a joke about like, oh, Jennifer just parodies Heather. You walk through scenes and I can just see you over processing in your head. You're thinking about, you're unraveling work still. I think the other women have the benefit of being on the show longer and they're very present in those scenes to the point of maybe even kind of manufacturing some stuff, honestly. But for you, I can just tell what's running through your head. You're like, I have to email everybody at the office. I've got clients to respond to. I've got products and vendors to work through. I've got to talk to the school. It seems to me that that was a struggle sometimes in filming to get used to that process by unraveling work. And that seemed to be a little bit more difficult for you to do than others.
Yeah. Yes. And also a lot of the scenes I would come straight from the office or I'd have to be working the next day. And I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing, but that was like compartmentalizing to the extreme, right? It's hard to come off of like an 8-hour day running an office, treating patients, and then, oh, I'm going to go be fun and lighthearted. You know, you need like a transition before you can, or at least I do, I need a transition. And I was thinking about the other women. I'm like, if this is all I had to do, like if I got to just film reality, I mean, it wouldn't really be my reality because, you know, then I wouldn't be doing everything that I do. But how much more lighthearted and more fun you could have with it, right?
Yeah.
I think that some people don't understand too that I had the whole fallout with Ryan on camera. We all saw that. That was real. And then my office was falling apart because I had this horrible employee that I had to let go mid-season. And then my third part was filming, right? So it was like chaos, chaos, chaos. Everywhere I turned, there was no stability. So I was trying to keep it stable in my head and go through all those different, you know, all the boxes I had to check on a daily basis.
So that was painful for me to see too, because there were allegations about using non-FDA approved Botox in patients and also prescribing narcotics in employees' names, but picking them up for yourself. Please tell everybody what was really going on.
So that is false. These are false accusations. I had an office manager who I hired during COVID. I feel like we didn't have such great picks, you know, during COVID. But she started off strong, and then it went horribly wrong very, very fast. And I still don't think I know the half of everything that went on with her, but I had to let her go mid-season. And it was a nightmare, an absolute nightmare, like calling and changing my phone password to my office 15 times a day, you know, calling in laser devices for herself. I mean, just blocking patients from my office phone. And then she made a demand for money, and I obviously didn't pay it. And then that's when all these allegations came up afterwards, which are false. It was interesting that about a dozen doctors have come forward that she did this to them as well. So this seems to be a pattern. I had to call in law enforcement at twice, actually, two times, once for theft. So it's her second grand theft charge with different last names. So, you know, nothing I would clearly sign up for, and nothing that I was planning on having to handle mid-season too.
And did the other women know any of this was going on?
I don't know. Heather, I was like, I had to let go of this office manager. She was in charge of so much, and it's a lot to basically save my business. I mean, she was trying to take it, you know, just take it from me and film and have Ryan walking out. And so there was a lot of really intense things going on at one time.
Was that half the reason that you probably gravitated more to Heather than others?
Well, she can understand. Like when I say I had to let go of an office manager in a medical office, she understands that, right? Her husband's a doctor. She's probably managed all sorts of different employees. And she's like, oh, of course, you know, I've seen it all. And being married to a doctor. So it's interesting running a business and being a doctor, because normally you just run a business, right? You're like, I'm the CEO of this business. I'm running it. But when you're the physician too, you're running the business and seeing all the patients. So it's like I describe to people, when you're building a neighborhood, you know, you're like the project manager and you're building out a neighborhood. You're not physically building the houses all yourself. But as a physician, you are. You're running the practice and you're physically seeing the patients all yourself. So it's a different dynamic. You tend to rely very heavily on your employees. So to have somebody turn on you like that is a big deal. And Heather could understand that because they've been through that too. They've been through some gnarly stuff.
So was she also the reason behind this confusion about what your practice does and your certification?
Yes. I mean, she's just starting every rumor she can. So when I spoke with the other physicians, they're like, well, we just paid it. We paid her because we wanted her to go away and we were scared of her. So I didn't pay her off, like, and here's the retaliation. I just, you know, the truth will all come out eventually. I mean, you've been to my office, you've met her, and I can say that because you've been on my Instagram. You've been very vocal about being at my office. That it was a hard Band-Aid to rip off. I was like trying to. There was no easy way to do it, so I just had to do it.
And really painful to see you go through it. But I'm glad that the truth is finally coming out. Clear up for everybody the certification issue, because that is something that people ask very often.
Okay, so I'm in aesthetic medicine. There's no aesthetic medicine is a newer field, right? You have dermatology, you have plastic surgery, these fields that have been around for a long time. But Botox, filler, lasers, like this is a new field. There's no residency for that. So people do a residency and then they specialize in aesthetics afterwards. So that's what I did. I hope it's over. I mean, she has been arrested, so a lot of people don't know that. But let's pray that it's over soon, the whole thing. Yeah.
So what has this experience been like? And looking back on the season, were there some women that you connected with more than others? And I know a lot of people have wondered, what was really going on with you and Noella?
Noella is just, she was just, you know, I had met her a couple times before filming. I met her with Bronwyn, was friends with Bronwyn. And she's just, when I met her the first couple times, she's very over-the-top personality, almost histrionic in behavior, just very extreme, right? And I'm like, okay, like that's not my cup of tea, but that's fine. But then when we actually started filming, it was a whole different spin. It was almost like she would just turn on for cameras, you know, like she was playing out a scene. Like, this is the scene that I'm going to play out, and I'm going to play it out. And there was a couple times where we would be done with filming, and she'd look to me and be like, wasn't that great? Aren't the fans just going to love that? I'm like, what are you even saying? Like, we're just, I don't know what that is. Like, we're here just to hang out and talk and do our thing. And dealing with Noella is dealing with like a drunk 3-year-old. Like, you can't talk to this person. You can't, like, I don't really have superficial relationships. I have to connect with people. And I mean, there's just no way. Not that there's going to be a drunk 3-year-old, but you could imagine, like, you just put them in the other room and you're like, hey, we'll see you later. But this woman, I mean, we have nothing, like, there's nothing in common. I was trying. I really gave it a college effort. Mm. But I mean, she's all over the place. Like, just all, like, sometimes not even knowing what subject we were on. You know, people look at that scene, for example, the scene in Cabo with the pornographic cards given to Heather's daughter. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, cuts and she says, oh, I'm sorry. And then it cuts out. I mean, it took us 35 minutes to explain to her what was even happening for her to get like one thank you out. Like, she just doesn't comprehend reality. And it's bizarre. Like, just so bizarre.
Did you get along with the others? Like, did you get along with Emily and Gina and Shannon?
Shannon's super fun. She's really quite hilarious and fun. After this Watch What Happens Live, I got a kind of crazy text from her. I didn't think that I was speaking bad about her. I have nothing bad to say about her. But she is a very fun person in real life. Gina, too, she's seems like she's a good heart. Emily, I connected with. We had a lot of similarities in the beginning, but I don't like this. I don't like the parroting Heather thing. I mean, come on. Like, I'm not even going to entertain that. That's like the most ridiculous thing. It's like, I don't know why Emily likes to go attack other women. Like, why are you even bringing up an ex-boyfriend at a party? In normal life, I wouldn't be like, oh, I met you a few times. And then you're just going to come at me at a party and start screaming about me about an ex-boyfriend. Like, that's strange to me. That's just an odd thing. And it's like, you know what, Emily, why don't we look at your life? Did you ever date someone who had money? Yes, you married a man whose family has money. Were you attracted to him and in love with him too? Well, you claim you are. So why can't I be? Like, why is that exclusive? I was very much in love with this person and attracted to him, and he happened to have money too. But it's like, she's trying to make it seem like it's exclusive. Like, you're either there for money or you're there for love. You can't have both. And you're like, wait a minute, like, but you are. So nobody else can, but you can. Like, I don't like that.
But are you too normal for the show?
I think it's a little unique, our situation, but maybe I'm just a little bit, I mean, I have a normal life. I'm a working mother, kids, work, house. Like, maybe I'm just, you know.
Is there anything else that you want people to know about yourself or the show? Those that have watched the season and they look back at your personal story.
Yes, I want to talk about Heather's party. I mean, obviously, I was overserved, but you know, that party was so fun. We had so much fun too. And I wish they would have included that part as well. And other scenes were just like that. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was cut out that I wish they would have included.
Yeah. Well, there's
especially the humor.
So only so much time for the show and so many of your personal stories. It's probably pretty hard. And I wish that they were able to tell the story of how he's building up his business. Tell everybody what Ryan does, because I think that's really cool.
So he has a travel business called Hawaii Hideaways, and he does high-end vacation rentals in Hawaii on all the islands. So 375 homes on all the islands. And, I mean, he's knocking it out of the park. I think he's fully booked right now for, I know, the end of the year, maybe even 2 years. And he checks in a ton of celebrities, NFL players, NBA players. Of course, he's extremely tight-lipped about that. That's one of his...
I know, it's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Well, because I tell him, I go, don't tell me unless you want everyone to know. Like, literally, the camera will know.
So, well, he's told me only two of them, but he won't tell me anymore. But I wish that he would tell me more.
And he was just here yesterday. He checked in a celebrity. Last week, he checked in a celebrity. But he's so confidential. He doesn't even tell me. Maybe yeah. after the fact he'll tell me, but and I tell him not to. I'm like, I can't keep that quiet.
So for many, many years, he kind of put that on the back burner because of the kids. And now that they're in school a lot more and they have activities, he's able to really focus more on the business. And you guys are moving to a new house, which is by the beach. And I think he's going to be much happier, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, it's as close as we can get to Hawaii in Southern California, right? It's right by the beach. You cannot wear a shirt all day. Yeah. He can do his emails on the beach. The kids can run wild in the community.
Any last thoughts on being a reality star after a lifetime of basically never watching television? You literally never watch anything. I don't know how we're friends because that's literally all I do. So how has this been being on a TV show for someone who doesn't even watch TV?
I don't even feel like I'm on a TV show. I just am living my, I just have to be a person living my life that happens to be on TV. One of my most favorite moments with you, Kate, was when Ryan was trying to watch the show and he's like, but we don't have cable.
No, that guy, he was like texting me. Do I have to watch this at 3 a.m.? That's what it says. Watch what happens. Like,
have you heard of an app, Ryan?
I know.
So crazy. I don't really feel like I'm on TV. I'm just kind of doing my own thing. I mean, even when we're filming, like, I don't know how to act. I'm just myself. But it's been great. It's been a very unique experience. And I liked it. Cece definitely liked it.
Cece did like it. Cece sure did like it. Well, tell everybody where they can find you and where they can come and book, how they can book an appointment with you, because I know they'll want to.
Oh, great. So Instagram, Jennifer Armstrong MD, and under the link tree, there's a book button. And then on our website too, there's also a book button, or they can call the office. 949-706-2887. And yeah, you need to come in again.
I know. I need some laser. I need to laser the shit out of this face. I love you dearly.
We are getting all new lasers, so you can come in and try them.
Oh, good. A little guinea pig. I love you dearly. Go back to the pool and give Ryan a squeeze for me. We get one face, so how we treat it matters. From exposure to the sun to the products we use, everything plays a part in how our skin looks and ages. There are so many options out there that I know it can be very overwhelming. So how do you know what products are for you? And that's where Pure Skin OC comes in. Pure Skin has helped clients all over the country find the right products for their skin, and it makes all the difference. Sign up for skincare coaching, also known as virtual consultation, and learn what is right for your skin. This is a one-on-one conversation with a licensed esthetician where you will discuss your skin concerns and current routine, and then you will get an entire skincare routine so that you can try everything before you commit to buying any product. And you know what the best part is? You can still contact your esthetician with questions about your skin and the products after the consultation is over forever. Are you ready to love your skin again? Visit pureskinoc.com and purchase the skincare coaching plan and save 50% by using code REALITYLIFE at checkout. That's only $25 to start your journey to healthy, happy skin. You can follow Pure Skin OC on Instagram and TikTok for skincare tips and tricks at pureskinoc. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Amy Zarin is a 2-time Emmy Award-winning, Academy Award-nominated documentary filmmaker. I have been dying to talk to her for a long time because she works on the most extraordinary projects. Most recently, she's worked on Allen vs. Pharaoh, On the Record, which was an examination of the intersection of Me Too and Black Lives Matter, and The Invisible War, which broke the story on the epidemic of rape in the U.S. military and led to 5 congressional hearings and the passing of 35 reforms through Congress. She has an impressive body of work. She's so good at what she does, and it's a real thrill to talk to her. Welcome to the show.
Wow, that's so nice. Thank you.
I was so excited to see that you have another project and so excited to watch this. You are co-director of Not So Pretty, a comprehensive, large-scale investigative expose of the trillion-dollar cosmetics beauty industry. I have 5 kids, 4 that are girls, and this was a doozy to watch. First, I have to ask you how this project came to you.
You know, I was asked to speak at a conference, and I just happened to be sitting in the audience after speaking and listening to the other speakers. And one woman was a CEO who had noticed that a lot of her friends were getting ill at a very young age, many with breast cancer. And she just started sort of doing her own research and reflecting. And it led her eventually to start a clean beauty company because she sort of found out that a lot of the products that all of us use have a lot of chemicals in them, and chemicals which are now, we know, are carcinogenic, and yet there's no regulation of them. So she gave this whole talk and I was like, what? This can't be true. And I went up to her afterwards and she said, yeah, it is. And no one knows about it. So that planted the seed. And then I flew back to LA and I told our team and we started doing our own research and found that everything she said was true. And it was even worse.
How long did this project take? Because I'm just watching it thinking to myself the entire time, what a big undertaking this must have been.
It took a good 2.5 years, I would say. Ryan's my institutional memory. I don't know. It's all a blur because we work on things concomitantly. But this was at least 2 years, maybe a little more.
How did you decide how to break up the episodes? Because there are 4 and each have their own, you know, topic. So there's hair, nails, skin, and makeup. If you're looking at the totality of the beauty industry, how are you able to cull into these 4 categories?
That's a really interesting question. It wasn't obvious. Like, you could make 8 topics, honestly. A lot of people asked, did we do lipstick? I mean, we had to just narrow it down and we sort of picked the 4 things that we thought would have the broadest appeal and demographic, you know, to the widest amount of people. I mean, one regret is that we really didn't dive into sunscreen, which is pretty amazing in its own right. I mean, there's definitely room for a sequel and for other people to jump in, but we just selected the 4 categories we thought people right away would want to know the most about, which is hair, makeup, nails, and your skin.
Of all those 4 categories, where did you find the most concerning data?
I don't know. They're all pretty, unfortunately, alarming. God, we have a stressed out world as it is. I'm sorry to be like the bearer of more bad news, but I can't pick a favorite, but I can say that I've been asked what the most shocking thing is. And the most shocking thing I learned was that a great number of these products that we slather on ourselves daily come from petrochemicals. Like, we're actually supporting ExxonMobil and Chevron when you like slather this stuff on your body. It's just a different way, a different funnel for these gas and oil to sort of find another home and another outlet for sales. Crazy as that might sound, it's absolutely true.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I did wonder how many of these beauty companies are actually under the same umbrella of other chemical companies that we have no idea about. Did you find that happen quite often?
That's the whole thing. It is this kind of shell game. It's really, really, really strange and creepy the way in which so much of these chemical companies are the foundation for these products. That's all I know or can say. I mean, that was kind of what we uncovered and found out, and was totally. It's so not intuitive, right? You don't think of that when you look at your lotions and creams, like what it's made out of or what it's coming from. But the other thing I'll say, which is also interesting because I was just thinking about it, the body is really created incredibly intelligently, right? Like it's pretty damn self-sufficient, right? And we were designed that way because, you know, whenever we came to be, there was no idea that there'd be all these products out there to, you know, maintain us. So it's just been a real sort of marketing coup of the last two centuries to make us think that we need all these products. And the truth is we kind of really don't. I mean, after making this, I stopped about 2 years ago when we started being full on the research. I just use a washcloth and water to wash my face now, day and night. And I swear, I'm 60 years old. I look as good. You can't tell the difference. Go look at my, go on Google and look at the pictures at the PGA last week. I mean, I'm not bullshitting. My skin is the same, you know, after, and I, you know, was indoctrinated in all these products all of our lives. You don't need them.
Yeah.
You don't need them.
I wondered also if you had any pushback from the lobbying industry once they caught wind of this project.
No, you mentioned some of the other projects we do. What we typically do is we work really, really, really close to the vest. So they don't. People typically don't catch wind of what we're doing until. So no, we haven't received any pushback yet. But I'm sure we will see it once it gets released. You will start seeing articles that, you know, just the disinformation machine and the discrediting machine and the. I hope it doesn't happen, but I mean, there's a chance that will occur.
To your point that you are so good at keeping projects so close to the vest, how were you able to find such interesting personal stories that correlated with these different categories?
A lot of work by our amazing, amazing producers. A shout out to Kate Grindland and Alexa Marksky and Kat Nguyen. You know, they worked really hard. That's kind of what we do when we do this work.
And now that you've done this project, have you and your team had conversations about how you're going to go about buying products differently? I said to my oldest daughter, we have to rethink all the products that we have, especially the little girls who, by the way, have makeup kits from places like Claire's Boutique.
Amen to that. I mean, I'm glad to hear you do that. And I hope, and we've heard that from other reporters that have interviewed us during this little, you know, pre-release press. I'm very happy to hear that. And that kind of was what our hope was, that it would really shake people into being a little more awake and conscious and understand that everything that they're putting on them for the most part is not regulated. And the other factoid I'll say that's kind of staggering is there are just 30 chemicals banned in the US, whereas there are over 1300 banned in the European Union. Over 1300. That means 1300 minus 30 is the amount of chemicals that are not deemed safe that we are putting on our bodies daily here in the US.
Now, I should point out that we are lucky enough to live in a country like the US. I think of others in countries that don't have the regulations that we have set up. What hope do they have? I mean, it's such a scary, scary, scary thing to consider in broad strokes. What can consumers do to protect themselves?
Well, we just can't have these companies run amok like this. I mean, we can't have profits trump everything else. And it's just a sad state of our world right now. What can we do? Well, the good news is you have a lot of power as your consumer. Vote with your dollars. If you stop buying the stuff, these companies will have no choice but to pivot and to manufacture things that are better for you and better for the planet. So I think it's honestly one of the easier fixes. And as I said, I want to say also, because sometimes people say, oh, but clean beauty is so expensive, et cetera. You can get by with very, very little. I mean, really look into, I mean, there's blogs and things that talk about, there are less equally inexpensive ways to completely maintain a really good health and skin and beauty regime that is affordable and clean.
Very eye-opening, very helpful. And I just wanted to lastly ask you about the reaction to Allen versus Farrow, which I know I have so many female listeners we were touched by. And how is Dylan doing? Because I'm hoping that she was overwhelmed with gratitude for speaking up.
That's such a sweet, sweet, sweet thing to ask. The whole family was sort of very appreciative of the way that series was received. They obviously were very fearful before it came out. they have a track record of not being well treated in the media. And so they were rightfully, nervous. But the love, I mean, we broke the internet every night, a new episode premiered, and they never, ever, ever, I mean, the portrait was so shifted from what the media had put out as common wisdom about Dylan and Mia and the whole family and the whole situation just completely shifted overnight with the series. And I mean, I think it's just been a wonderful, that's been a blessing, I think. Oh, and a shout out to Kiki Palmer. Amazing, right, Kate? Wasn't she amazing?
Yeah.
She's our narrator and she's lovely and funny and entertaining and insightful. So it's a good time.
Such great work. Come back anytime. Keep sending me your work.
Okay, we will. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guests, Jenny and Amy Zarian, and remind you to click subscribe, leave a 5-star review, share the episodes with your friends. You can follow me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. You can join the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. Follow me on Instagram at Kate Casey CA, TikTok, It's Kate Casey. You can find me on Cameo, Kate Casey. My Patreon with bonus episodes, including an episode I just did with Jonathan Mark, where he gave me a reading and kind of gives you an idea of what it's like to get a reading at Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey. I've got a great, great, great episode coming out Friday. So much for you to watch. Check out that must-watch list. And I can't wait to circle back with you on Friday.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.